Well, welcome back to Life Bites Radio. I'm Nina Bosky. Our last segment was Craig Shoemaker from last week. Just want to point out, that was last week, and so he is not at the Comedy and Magic Club this weekend. So, but you can go to CraigShoemaker.com and find out where he is in the world today. So, anyway, we are switching gears here. Not so much, because we are still talking about what is it like to think like a man. I've got Barry Selby on the line with me, and his life purpose is inspiring people to live authentic lives, and the vehicle that mostly effectively expresses his purpose is his facilitation and guidance with singles and couples to have amazing relationships, living purposefully and authentically, and fulfilling their highest potential. He is a coach, a speaker, and a published author, recently releasing his first book, Rules of Romance, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. So, Barry, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. So tell us, before we get to Thinking Like a Man, tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, my book is not about thinking like a man. But
but exactly. That's before we get to Thinking Like a Man, let's talk about your book.
Right. My book is really a summary of what I've been learning and teaching and embodying for the last 20, 25 years. And it's distilled it down to what I would say is a good basis, not everything, but a good basis of 50 principles that will impact your relationships. If you're single or in a relationship, how to have a better one, both in terms of your own relationship, yourself, your partner, the world, your past and your present and your future. So it does cover a lot of territory. These are very, very foundational and structurally sound principles that will help you have a better relationship.
So what are a couple of the tips? Obviously, you can't give us all 50.
Well, to be honest, I don't have them memorized either, the whole lot, but I can give you a few of them.
Yeah.
One of them is that, and this is a simple one, is that if you are trying to be right all the time, you won't have a healthy relationship. And I break down what that means simply is that you can't be right and happy at the same time except by coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But in a partnership, it's about understanding each other, not trying to just put your point across all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting point, because I think a lot of us, whether you're in a romantic relationship or not, it's easy to approach something from, you know, the right attitude, like, I'm right, you are wrong, versus we're in this together.
Exactly.
So
that's one of the things that breaks up relationships, because the people will go to the divorce being, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah, you see that a lot. You know, and so, you know, in terms of that right, wrong, how would you, as a coach, be able to help them get out of that mode? Because I think, you know, a lot of times we're modeled and we have that type of example in our everyday life. So it's one, hard to discern whether or not you're doing it. And two, once you become aware, it's hard to stop it. So how do you help people do that?
Well, first of all, the awareness is the biggest piece, because just be aware of the fact that we've gone down a road that is getting away from loving and into righteousness is the first awareness. Like, oh, hang on a second, do I really want to go down that way? The second part is, what are we attached to as a result? Because if we're attached to prove a point for some reason, to make our partner think we're better than we are versus being more loving, it's self-defeating, because we're actually going to create more resistance and resentment with our partner versus closeness. So to really reflect back to the person who's facing that challenge or facing that decision point is to see, what are you attached to? What is your real desire here? And it may be because they feel less than for some reason, so they're trying to prove something to feel better than. But in truth, what they're doing is they're attempting to override their partner's ability to love them.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because I think once you understand what your intention is, and if your actions aren't matching your intention, something's got to shift.
Right. And it's a choice. And again, everything about this is a choice. You can stay single, or you can be in a relationship. It's a choice. So it really is.
You can be right and alone, Barry, but, you know, no, so isn't that the truth? So what are a couple of other tips you can give us from the book to tantalize us with the rules of romance?
Right. Well, I do talk about the masculine-feminine paradigm a little bit in about five or six different chapters, and one of them I talk about, and this is really a tip for the men and the women who are in a relationship, and I talk about, for a man, the way to really serve his lady, to really take care of her, is, because many women, let me sidetrack slightly, many women, and a lot of my clients, are professional women who go out to work full-time, they come home from work, they're tired, they've done all their stuff for the day, but what they've been doing is doing the mass and what a man who's in a relationship with her can do to serve her most highly, especially to create more romantic connection, is when she comes home, presuming he's home before her, is to take from her her keys, her PDA, smartphone, they don't call PDA anymore, her bag, suitcase, a briefcase, rather, everything else, and then lead her to the bathroom where he already has a hot bath running with candles and bath bombs, and then let her go in there, close the door behind her, so she can have a hot bath and have a peace and quiet soaking on her own. And then say, come talk to me when you're ready.
Okay, so I got it. I like that. I think that's really a good point. But here's what I've seen happen. A woman, and it happens between men and women, because I think the man tries. He you know, let's say he says, okay, I'm going to do something really special for her. She's not in that mode to receive it. And so what ends up happening is she shuts him down.
Well, the challenge is, this is one of the things that gets to be interesting, is that women have worked, and this is the last thing, women have worked so hard, so long to create a level of equality, which is a really challenging place to play in this argument when it comes to men and women's rights and such. But what happens is that women don't always trust men to be serving them for the highest purpose, the highest values.
Exactly. I mean, you nailed it. Trust.
Yeah. And that's what I'm very passionate about, is that trust is not what we think it is a lot of times. We think that trust is like, well, you've got to respect me where I am and not do anything. It's like they don't trust the actions being motivated from the heart versus from the mind. And that's the dance we all have, is about what is really driving us. Again, our choices, are we driven by our love or because we think we should do something?
And also, I think, you know, especially for couples who've been together for quite a long time, right, if they have some wounds, if they have some hurts, if they have betrayals, right, you know, that wonderful gesture of coming in and making the bath for your wife or your partner and doing something really gracious, if they're not in that place to receive it, you know, the person feels shut down, then they don't, you know, see if I do that again, right? And it becomes this difficult challenge to come together instead of being
right.
Apart.
The fact that I talk about that again in the book and also in my coaching is that we oftentimes don't realize how much of our parents we live in our relationships.
Really, Barry? I'm not sure about that. Oh, my gosh. That's a good one.
It's funny how people don't, though. It's like we talk about this and they go, and it strikes me as so ironic, but also it's making common sense to me, because the reality is people have shut that off because a lot of times the stuff they learned from their parents is unconscious and it's something they were very painful about.
Yeah.
So they actually bury it. So to bring it to the awareness can be a very tender and sensitive process to do that, because until that heals, it will continue to influence their relationships.
How do you feel about this? Because this is interesting. It kind of fits into what you're talking about in regards to our parents or in our relationships in terms of we have infused those patterns. But I also see that even though the men that I have dated and been in relationship with, in a lot of ways, the same pattern has shown up time and time again until I've decided to deal with it. And I've had some people, some clients even say to me, there is no relationship between, you know, Bob and John. And I'm like, oh, yes, there is. There might be a different personality, but there is a pattern that exists throughout. Do you believe that too?
Yeah, because we actually will attract that same thing again and again, because we have unconscious intentions happening based upon that. Versus the intentional ones we set in our mind or in our vision boards or in our affirmations of what we want to create, there's an overriding unconscious intention that we establish, because that's what we associate with loving. And the extremes can be pretty powerful, because there are people who go through abusive relationships because they grew up with abuse and they tie together loving and abuse as the only way it should work. Not intentionally or consciously, but it's underneath the layers of the unconscious.
So I'm shifting gears a little bit, but it has to do with a couple relationship. I have a client who is in relationship for about 9-10 years, and her husband, although a sweet man, never gives her any compliments, right? And she just got a brand new job, okay? And she called me and she goes, he didn't even acknowledge my job. What would you say to the men out there that don't get that it's the little things that count? Because this kind of plays into your bathtub thing.
Right. It's okay to ask, first of all. It's okay to ask, like for a man to ask a woman, how can I make you feel better? How can I help you? How can I be of service to you? And one of those things is, and this is one of the biggest things too, there's another book that's out there by Dr. Carrie Chapman, which is The Five Love Languages. And recognition is that we men and women, not generically, but partners will speak different languages to each other in loving. One will demonstrate to the other partner by what they do, but the other person only recognizes love by what they are told. So they need to be here that they're being loved. And it's that sort of disconnection that can create some challenges. So it's almost like with your partner, learn what their preferences are, what it is that they innately feel when they're loved. Is it the way that you tell them that? Is it the way that you touch them? Is it the way that you show them? And by doing that, that person will find more trust, more comfort, and also will feel loved.
So what would you say to the women out there that may be experiencing that, in their mind, neglect?
Well, part of it is to be willing to express their needs, to stand up strong enough to the partner and say, look, you know, I want a relationship with you, I love you, and I really wish you would step up in these areas with me. And it's usually not about, you know, it may be about going to get a better job, but it's also a lot of times, can you, you know, when you come home, can you take 10 minutes to sit and talk with me? Can you take time to help me with the kids or whatever that is? And then take action steps towards that. And with the challenges for men is that we're sometimes sort of learners. So I'm the women to be somewhat gentle with us, we'll be learning new tricks and new ways of doing things because we want to do things to please our women. We would, most men truly in their heart, of their relationship, they want to please their woman. They don't want to do it just for the sake of having a pretty woman in their arm. Some do, but most of us don't. We want to have a relationship with a woman that we feel we're contributing to and being contributed to in return. So show us where we're missing out on things and how we can do better. We'd appreciate that.
So what is the number one thing that you get from women, whether they're your clients or, you know, maybe friends, etc., that if they would just shift, their relationships would be so much better?
The women or the men shifting?
The women first. We'll get with the women first. Then we'll get to the men.
Just one thing?
Yeah, if there's one thing that would be, or maybe a couple things, it doesn't have to be, I don't want to put you on the spot, one thing, there's only one thing, but is there something that they can do that you see a theme from, you know, you had said that some of the women that you, a lot of the women that you coach are working women, successful women, etc. What could be something that you see as a pattern that if they shifted it, that it could enhance and better their relationship?
First of all, the choices they make is one of the biggest ones. There's, I talk about this, I do talk about it in my book, but I also do it in my coaching too, is that they're, a lot of women are drawn to the bad boys.
Mm-hmm.
And that paradigm, which is really starting to fade nowadays, but the bad boy was really the strong, masculine, like, musky energy, but tied to it was bad behavior.
Yeah.
Tied to it with a callousness and a disregard, because truly, the bad boy archetype was attractive but dangerous because what he was had sexual polarity and power but no heart. So there's no real sense of someone being caring. And so women have chosen for a long time the man that would be strong enough in relationships to hold that space without the heart to back it up.
And how about for men in terms of their shifting?
Well, for men, one of the biggest things is never expect to understand your woman. We don't understand it, so we're always learning. And for men to think they can stop learning about women, that's when they lose.
Well, on that note, Mr. Barry Selby,
yes.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm sure we're going to have you back again. This was a lot of fun.
It'll be my pleasure.
Rules of Romance, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. You can also go to facebook.com/the.passion.consultant. You can also follow Barry on Twitter at Barry Selby. And the fun thing about it is he has a wonderful book out, and if you are looking for ways that you can enhance and improve your romance and romantic life, Rules of Romance, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. Thanks so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to Life Bites Radio, and we'll be back in just a moment.